This is because I'm just trying to think about the fact, which I believe, that we were made to look up. And our culture and our instinct is to look up for many reasons. So these are just a couple of pictures. Of course, we've always looked at the stars for guidance for a million reasons, which you would understand more than I do. And so that's just a reminder of how we do. We wait for liftoff. Like we're thinking of the Challenger and all the video we saw about that liftoff before its tragedy. And we wait for liftoff. In a sense, we wait for liftoff. We're hoping for liftoff. This is Everest, and Sir Edmund Hillary was asked, why did you climb it? And what did he say?
It was there.
I climbed it because it was there. It was calling my name because it's a height, and we all are looking always to heights. So many millions have come on toward the Statue of Liberty, and you see that statue. Did you see it on David Letterman? Of course, it's always on David Letterman. Because her face and her stance, she's welcoming immigrants who have faced hell over the centuries. And millions of people see a hope in her for truth and justice. And, it's just fabulous, the Statue of Liberty. This is just a friend of mine who was just in Spain, and he sent lots of pictures. The fish in the market, the thing in the thing, the barber the roo, the blah, 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 blah. And then he said, this is where you can stand and stare out at the Atlantic Ocean. Nothing but the Atlantic. And it's the same here. It's the same for us. We look up, and we are meant to. And just as the Statue of Liberty has, this is hilarious. Where did I put my markers? I'm getting older, but just as the Statue of Liberty gives us the promise of truth and justice, Moses brought us the law, but John says Jesus Christ brought us, in Jesus came truth and grace. The truth that we're seeking is up. And in your hymn books on page 667, if you care to refer to it, is the Apostles' Creed, one of the oldest formations, maybe third century, of the beliefs we have, which Mike is referring to, staying on the doctrines. And this is what Earl and Chris and others here have done over the years, protected the doctrines of the church, the main points, not the things we argue about, the main points. And one of them, after Jesus Christ was risen, is his ascension. He went up. That's literally the first and, in a sense, the only liftoff we as believers need to be a hold of. I mean, some of us are scientists. You can ask Al everything about that other liftoff. But this is the liftoff that can transform your life, whether you're a scientist, a rocket expert, or a mother at home, or a little girl. That is the ascension, because you have a Lord who is located. He's located. A lot of us live here not because we're born here. How many people were born here? One, two. Gabriel Island. One, two, three, four. The rest of us have decided for different reasons to be here, to locate here, right? Land is more reasonable originally. All kinds of reasons. Love of creation. Whatever. Location's important to us. Home is important to us. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord must be located. He is not floating by. He is not appearing to you and me here and there. You for breakfast, me for lunch. No. You may have a vision of the Lord, but he has ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. And it's said through Scripture. The New Testament is very small. You know, for a book, for a worldwide religion, it's 200 to 300 pages, depending on your translation. It's very small for a worldwide religion. It holds the most believers in the world at the moment, in the world. If you see Eastern texts, they are enormous, and they are also corrected. Their heroes are beyond question. They do not include people like King David, who committed adultery and caused a death, but still loved God. They don't include that kind of thing. They don't include contradiction. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they contradict because they're witnesses. And if one of you has an accident, say Chris Jacobson outside, no, whoever hits somebody and you see it from one angle and somebody sees it from another, you're going to have two different stories. But there was an accident. And that is verifying the truth of the New Testament. It includes those contradictions. Judas exploded in a field of blood. In another one, he hanged himself. You read them and you know somebody saw terror in two different ways. Maybe he hung himself and exploded. The thing we know in our spirit, he came to a very, very tragic end. That's the power of the New Testament. It's a real document. Okay, I've gone completely against my notes, and now I have to find it right. Okay, I just want to read you a little bit just for ascension, you know, just for this idea of going up and the images that we're left, you know, really in our imaginations. When we do things with the imagination, if it's a sanctified imagination, someone paints a picture, it's really based on a truth, and we feel something from it that's true. It's got a beauty that resonates with the created fact. And that's true with our sense of the Lord. Isaiah says, you know this is Isaiah's call, but I'll just read the beginning. He's describing the vision he has in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. And ever since, through the history of man, we bow down to earthly leaders. In Canada, we're taught how to actually curtsy properly to the Queen. Some of us were, right? Exactly how to doodly-doo and say da-da. You didn't just say, hey. And that reminds me, when I taught school in Jamaica, Princess Margaret came to the town. This is a funny story. It was a very small fishing village. And the official mayor, who was a kind of character, met Princess Margaret. And he said, hey, how's the sister? Which was the queen, and we were horrified. Okay. So we learn always to bow down. And kings ever since have been lifted up, right? Kings are lifted up. They're carried. They're carried, and even rich people are carried throughout the world. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one called to another continuously, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And in Daniel, specifically 150 years before Jesus Christ, describing the messianic kingdom, the Messiah come, the sent one from Jesus, the only one risen and ascending. And traditionally, Christian theologians, you know, beautifully written by John Calvin, say, you know, we say about things like this, because sometimes we put things up, or we go up, somebody goes up, we say whatever goes up has to come down, right? That's going to come down. right? If somebody goes on the roof, say, where is he? He's gone up. He's going to come down. Don't worry about it. He'll get his lunch later. He's going to come down. But the argument in reverse is a man that goes up to heaven, which the disciples saw, the one who ascended, he has to have descended. No one of us can ascend. No one of us can ascend. Because the person who ascended had to descend. So the incarnation, the coming of Jesus Christ and his birth, is the only thing that allows the ascension. And the ascension cannot happen without the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He broke into our DNA. He brought heaven to earth. And this fabulous transaction, better than compounding interest, hello? He came and brought heaven to earth and brings earth to heaven. He's God-man, and we become in him man-God. That's the shock. We become man-God. I'm speaking to you. I'm believing everybody here is a believer. I see you week after week, and I would ask, but I don't think there's anyone here who is not a believer. If you are, great. But I'm speaking to you, a believer. These things have to be so secured in us because, oh, people believe all kinds of things. People in the church, AA, they make up things about God. Right, Isaiah? They do. They make up little ideas about the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The church itself makes up ideas. What is holy and what isn't? And we lift them up, and we wonder why. Sometimes it makes a church full. Sometimes it makes it, here are some ideas we have. This is one Isaiah's put up. And they will get as far as the ceiling, but then they will pop and fall down. And they will never have a follower, because the one is idea that spirit is everybody. Like Mike was saying, it's universal. The other one is the Son was an angel, but he was never God. You can go into a certain sanctuary now and you'll see a great picture of Jesus right on the wall like any other man. But outside there's a golden angel. It's a totally different idea. It's a totally different idea. In our belief from the scripture, Jesus Christ is the only one exalted, and he is at the right hand of the Father, and judgment has been given to him to judge us, clear judgment, and to send the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about next week. The Holy Spirit then falls, and we continue the mission of Christ. This is the universal church time begins when the Holy Spirit falls, and we continue his mission until his return, because he will decide and the Father will decide when he returns to a new heaven and a new earth. And the scripture says, right at Jerusalem. I once saw a documentary interviewing the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. And of course, this is from the Old Testament, Daniel. I saw in the night visions. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man, representing all of us. And he came to the Ancient of Days, the Creator, Father, and was presented before him. And to him, that Son of Man, Jesus Christ, to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And that's Daniel 7. That's an image from the Old Testament. This is 150 years before Jesus, and now we're seeing it fulfilled. Now, I just want to talk to you a little bit. This is to you Christians, about the text, because now I'm going to read the text, which you can join me. I think it's page 732. Act 1. This is after the gospel writers, but it's still being written by Luke. Act 1. And I want to just, before reading it, I just want to say something, let's see, about the text. Okay, I'm wrapping it up. The text, like I asked, I met a person, please don't repeat this outside of this. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No. I was asking a teacher of English this week. Now, we didn't have a long conversation, so I can't be. She was teaching at the university level, I think. And I said, what are you teaching? And she said, I'm teaching everybody's experience. They come and they tell me their experience. We tell each other stories. And we. It sounded fabulous. And they were growing very close as a community, which is very important to learning. But then I kept asking her, and we were with a crowd, so, you know, she didn't care what I was asking, and I was just trying to make conversation. But it was, what is the text you're using? And she never answered me. And I got a funny feeling they didn't have a text. Like, maybe they were just telling their own stories. Maybe it was a journaling class. I don't know. But, you know, we are a people of the text. We come back to the text. Now, you may say, Mary Charlotte, you're so old. And we are now texting, and we don't need a text because our Bible's online and many other more fascinating things to me are online. But I want to remind you that over the last couple of years, Arab Spring and Occupy Wall Street, massive movements of youth were literally created by texting to each other. They had a text, communicators. And the reason they succeeded was because they were witnesses. They witnessed what was wrong with Iran's government, with the way money changes hands in the U.S., where money is. It's, you know, clunked with, it's all with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and the rest of us are nowhere, you know, whatever. They made this movement. It was all by attack. It was by messaging, but it was from credible witnesses. Young people who were honest and after justice. Okay. A text can be notes, stories through generations, repeated. It can be songs. It can be, we saw a fabulous tap artist the other night. It's certain patterns that they learn, and that becomes a text for a discipline. But the authority of these texts that we have in our hand. You've probably heard the story of, you know, I think this might have been a Hudson Taylor story that scripture couldn't get into China, and one gathering of believers got a part of a text, a part of the gospel, so they had a page, I think, of the gospel. Of John, and they ripped it up between like 50 people, and one person got. Has anyone heard this? Charlotte, you might have heard this. One person got, and God so loved, and their life was transformed. That's all they ever had of the scripture, and God so loved. So these texts, you know, they're not just, you know, we have Bibles. If you go in that closet there, there's Bibles for your whole family line. You know, I have so many Bibles myself, which I have not read. So many Bibles. We're glutted with Bibles. We lose the significance of it. But this Bible and these Gospels and the letters of the New Testament were people who were witnessing, and they had to write it for us. It's written for us. If you don't know the Bible very well, or you haven't picked it up, you've had an experience of God. I know you have, or you wouldn't be here. You have an experience of God. And you seek, actually, we all seek, me more than any, after the text. I would rather talk about this text than read it, believe me. But my life comes from reading it, meditating, being quiet. Do you know how Sam Lewis, visiting Charlotte, said to me, sit. They didn't say shut up, but they said, sit down and read this. Sam Lewis was leaving for the day to go to Nanaimo. He said, sit in the chair, read the book. So, you know, it's precious. Okay. So they wrote this, and this is what they wrote. Acts 1, this is the ascension. I'm almost finishing as quick as I can. In the first book, this is Luke writing, so his first book was the Gospel of Luke. And he says, in the first book, O Theophilus. Now we think Theophilus is a famous man, and he could be, or it's just meaning Theophilus, lover of God. Theo and Philus. So it means each of us. Dear Theophilus, I have dealt in Luke, in the Gospel, with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, because we all saw that, until the day he was taken up, after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself. After he was risen, he presented himself alive after his passion, his suffering, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And also, over 500 people in Jerusalem saw him walking the streets. Paul says that in Corinthians. So many people saw him between here and here. So they knew when he went up here, he was in a spiritual, glorified body, different from ours, but they could recognize him, and it's the body we are going into after death. We may sleep in Jesus until the second resurrection, but then we are in that body. That is your future. Your future is not completely your RRSP. That is going to last like maybe 1 year till you die. And then this is all about your future. This is your real future, my real future. So while staying, during 40 days, he spoke about the kingdom. And while staying with them, he charged them, do not depart from Jerusalem. When I go, you stay there and wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. You heard from me. For John baptized with water for repentance to the Jews. But before many days, you're going to be baptized. That means dunked in, completely influenced, like a Timbit in a coffee. The Holy Spirit. That is what we're supposed to be like, Holy Spirit soaked, so that we don't say certain things and we say other things. We don't do certain things, we do other things. Now I'm going to skip down. 8, but you shall receive power. You're not going to know all the future things you want to know, like when's the Father coming back. No. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. This is our calling, to be witnesses like the apostles, like the people writing in the New Testament, like the people who started Arab Spring. They witness to the truth they see in front of them. That is what we're supposed to be seeing in front of us as believers. You're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, which, if you didn't know, is here from Israel. Is this the end of the earth from Israel? It feels like it. It's the end of the earth, wherever you go. And when he said this, as they were looking on, all of us were looking, says Luke, he was just like Kieran said, he was lifted up. Because he can do that. That little boy knows he can do that, which is fabulous. And a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, and always they've needed in the resurrection and the ascension, the witness and instruction of angels. Because man doesn't know what's happening. We're totally like, wah? Although, I will say, in cults now, and movies, the ideas are so bizarre. They're all takeoffs on the resurrection. Trust me that. I cite E.T. E.T. was a story about Jesus. Came down, had to go back. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him. Go in, he's going to come back. Now, this is the Holy Spirit. Then the universal church of Christ begins. Now, there I would like to teach you, if I had time today, the theory, the pipeline theory of church history. And I wish I had another whiteboard. And in the pipeline is your denomination and mine. And then there are little pipes that come off from the beginning of the church. And the little pipes that come off are all the other churches. But we're the main pipeline from the 12 disciples. And if you go to another church, that's what they think too. You went off and they're the main ones. But at any rate, the universal church, which is spoken of largely in the scriptures, in the New Testament. Of course, there are letters to small groups, but the universal church is the blessed company of all faithful people. Some of us are and some of us are not. We'll never know. You know, the Lord knows our hearts, and we can never judge even our own group or another group. We can't do that. The Lord knows. It's the blessed company of all faithful people. And, you know, I have a dear friend. I came across his letters from Kenya, who is now an archbishop there. And his letters wrote, you know, he wrote me to please pray. They needed a holy bishop. And his next letter was they had elected him as bishop. And now he's archbishop. But in those letters he wrote, stay close to Christ, and we are closer than we could be if we were face to face. Stay close to Christ, and we're closer. And you know what that is with people who are away. You're in Christ. If you're in the Spirit, you're close. Okay, I just wanted to say that. Is that enough? Yeah, so we pray to the ascended Lord, and he sends us. He has sent us the Holy Spirit, but we're going to talk about it next week. He sends the Holy Spirit, which binds us to himself. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, falls on us. Paul says, pray every day for the Holy Spirit. And here he said, do not leave Jerusalem, because it's dangerous. You're going to talk from your brain about the gospel and offend people. You're going to talk from your brawn about the gospel, and you're going to drive people crazy. You're going to talk about your little church like three little red dots, what it is, and it's confined by the building and your own mind, but our own mind, or we minister to people and be with people by the Holy Spirit. It's completely different. It's completely different. You know what happened? First thing is they spoke in other languages so that other nations could come in and worship God. Everybody worshiped God. I remember seeing a scene in a movie about Jesus where he's going down the road and people are just so delighted and they join him looking up. It was like, what on earth are they doing? Don't they want cake or something? No, they were just rejoicing in God, giving God glory. And that's really, you know, in everything we do, it's give good. Whether we eat or drink, we give glory to God. Let's see if there's an end here. Please, for you poor. So we're finishing today, yeah. And so we wait always. And, you know, he's come. He's arrived, the Holy Spirit, because of these activities of God that we know. And he lives with us, in us. Jesus promised the Father in me and the Holy Spirit will dwell in you. We become the temple at Jerusalem. We become like Jerusalem, the tent of the presence of God. You know, I wish I lived what I'm speaking. I mean, these are impossible words to say. And he lives with us that way. And he says, the kingdom has come for you and it is within you. But it is the kingdom of the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the living God revealed fully in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's very specific. It's not a Christ light. It's not a crystal glow. That's why the scriptures are very specific and very important. And that's why I so appreciate the ministry of your whole board, but newly named elders, Earl and Chris, who guard doctrine. Because you just, you know, it's like a train. You go this way and suddenly you're at another destination. And it's too late to, you can't get back. Sometimes you're too old to get over. And our very lives depend on it. And as Mike's saying, that life in Christ is what the enemy hates. Once that, I keep repeating this, the death of the life of Christ in you, because it will turn over, it helps to transform lives through him only, through him and for his glory, that everyone is reconciled to God, guiltless, forgiven, reconciled. and bless us all as we continue to wait for him and be filled with him. And I guess I want to finish that one thing about the rabbi, that documentary with the rabbi. He was standing by the temple in Jerusalem, and he said to the documentary maker, he said, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but of course he's thinking of his scriptures, and the documentary guy's thinking of Jerusalem. And he said, what we believe is that the new Jerusalem will come out of the sky, the new heaven and the new earth. It will come and it will just sit on this one. He was going like this. It will just sit on this temple. It will come out of the sky and it will just sit here on this one. And then he looked at the documentary maker and said, I know, it sounds crazy, but that's what we believe. Just come here. And this is just like this. He ascended, and it says in the scripture he will come back in the same spot. And I believe like that rabbi. Let's pray first. Before we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and for the faithfulness of the witness of these men and women who spoke about you, referred to you, were transformed by you, and transformed the Middle East and Europe. The word went out and it literally transformed countries upon countries. And it's here with us, and we're thankful for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless us in your name and for your glory. Amen.